You're listening to the Confidence Chronicles podcast, episode number 58.
Hola, hola. It's your girl, Erica from America. Welcome to the Confidence Chronicles podcast. This podcast is all about helping you stand in who you are. Stop giving a fuck what people think about you. Start reclaiming your confidence. Start standing in your fully expressed self. As you are, as is, no filter needed. You are fucking awesome. I am here to remind you, I'm a confidence coach and I'm a bold stand for confidence, and I cannot wait to dig into today's episode with you.
Hello, my love. Before we get into today's episode, I have a little request. I have been nominated for an Australian Mumpreneur Award, and I am super proud of it because, as you all know, I've been busting my ass doing my podcast, running my business, and working, having my two kids, all of the above, just juggling. And so I'm really, really honored to be nominated for this award. The two categories are Making a Difference Award, which is really what I want to win, and the Leadership Award. So I would love, love, love if you could head over to my link in my bio on Instagram. It says vote for me, or head over to the Australian Mumpreneur. It's like entrepreneur, but with mum in front of it, and vote for me, pretty please. I would really appreciate it. I so appreciate you being here, and I thank you in advance for your vote. Let's get into the episode.
I am so very honored and excited and happy to have our beloved Miss Janie in the house. She has been working with me for quite some time. She is an amazing human being and mother. She's been through so, so much, and I really am excited to introduce you guys to her because you may hear yourself in her story. You may resonate lots with her and her story, and I really want to highlight you, Janie, because you have been killing it. You've been doing the hard yards, and Janie has just joined the Global Sisterhood as well. She's in New Zealand, and she is such a beautiful soul and a warrior, and so I really wanted to have you on the podcast because I want people to be able to hear the stories of the women that are doing the work, because it's easy for me to bitch slap people and tell them this, that, and the other. But when we can hear ourselves and others, it is so impactful and powerful. So without further ado, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. I'm going to try not to cry, but I've got my tissues here just in case. Oh, yeah. I do.
We need some tears. It's been a lot. We've done a lot of work. You've jumped through so many hoops. So if you can maybe tell everybody a little bit about you and how this whole inner work self-discovery journey kind of started, where we started working together.
Okay. So we started working together, I think, when you released your bitch slap bundles is when I first started working with you. And I don't know how long ago that was, because I feel like I've known you forever, but I think it was the beginning of the year.
Yeah, so that's the little Instagram DM kind of quick coaching that we were doing. Mm-hmm. And that's right, you did some love and bitch slaps.
Yeah, and you gave me some great homework. And I thought, I really need to really dig into this and get going. And the bitch slap bundles are not enough. I need some intensives. So that's when we started one-on-one coaching. I spent all of last year basically crying, and it was awful, awful, awful time for me. Smiling on the outside, trying to be that super happy person. And then I would come home after working or having my kids, because I've got four beautiful children. They're not little. They're 11 through to 15 years old. And once I was away from them and they couldn't see me, I would sit in my room and cry because my husband of 20 years had an affair and decided that he would rather be with the mistress than with his family. So I was absolutely devastated. And I think it was the beginning of this year, I thought, I can't do this. I can't spend my days crying and my nights wishing that I wasn't going to wake up the next day. Yeah, just, you know, that's not healthy.
No way.
And it's not a lie.
You raised these four children. I want you guys to understand, because when I spoke to Janie and she told me her story, I was literally like, I'm so in awe of you. I'm honestly in awe of you, because I know how much I want to choke my kids. And I have two. And it doesn't matter how many we have, right? Just so you guys know, it's not a comparison about you got one, I got six. The point is, being a mother and having a child depend on you and your body and the energy they take from you, and they fuck with you so much. They're your biggest teachers. And you having four and having a man who is, you know, so he left to another, he left to another place.
We lived together. Obviously, I met him when I was 17. We started going out when I was 18. When I was 25, we moved, because I live in New Zealand, we moved from New Zealand to a place called Vanuatu. We lived there for 5 years.
Fiji, right?
Yeah, it's a tropical island sort of around the Fiji area. Their schooling isn't great, so when my oldest son needed to go to school, I moved back with the kids, and my ex was always like, I'll be 6 months behind you. And that 6 months dragged on for 10 years. So he would come back. It was supposed to be every month, but it was like every 6 weeks he'd come back for a few days. It wasn't very long, and then he'd go back and do his thing in Vanuatu. It was very much a traditional relationship where he was the breadwinner, and I was the stay-at-home mum. That's how we wanted to work things. And so from his end, I think Vanuatu was just, he loves working. It's his everything. It's his hobby, it's his job, it's his whole, you know, persona is this businessman. And so business was hugely important for him, plus he had the added sort of, I guess, pressure that he was the main breadwinner because I was staying home with the kids. And I honestly thought he would move back. I never thought that it was going to drag out for the 10 years, but having said that, we were still very much in a relationship and very much talking every day and together. So it was quite, although it was hard and it was not perfect, I wasn't expecting for the divorce to happen at all.
So how old were your kids when that started, when you were raising them by yourself?
I moved over, my oldest was 5 and a half, and then I had a four-year-old and two-year-old twins.
And two-year-old twins.
Two-year-old twins.
Kiss your face. I'm just like, can you feel how hard this must have been for Jamie? Like, this is, I'm like, you are so amazing. And I know that you're like emotional saying that. You have every reason, my love, to be a victim. You have every reason to sit in shit. You have every reason to be pointing the finger outwards and not doing any work. You have every fucking reason. Yet you have done what you've done, which I'm going to let you finish. But like, this is why I wanted you so bad on the podcast, because you had choices and you didn't make the choice of blaming and shaming and being a victim and not doing shit for yourself. As you looked after your children as a warrior, you made it happen for yourself the same fucking way. Oh my God. So that happened.
Yeah.
And tell us more. Okay.
So being back with the kids and not having my husband there supporting us, you know, on the day-to-day sort of pick up, drop off, and just the madness of having family life, I got quite anxious. Didn't know why, because I'm a quiet, reserved person, but I wouldn't say I was a scared person. But I started getting really anxious, you know, like walking the kids around the block, I'd freak out. I think it was just the pressure. Like, if anything happened to me, who's looking after the kids? Because there is no backup. If I, like, God forbid, died during the night, there'd be these small little children. They don't know how to call, you know, the ambulance or their grandparents or their dad overseas. So that kind of built. I went to the doctors. He told me I had anxiety. He gave me a prescription for SSRIs. He put me on paroxetine, which is supposed to be a short-term fix. I was on that for 10 years. He didn't tell me it was as hard to come off as like taking heroin.
Oh
my gosh. Okay. So I tried to come off it and failed miserably twice. one time I asked my husband to come back. I said, I just need you for a week. You can work from home. I just need to know you're in the house. So if I'm melting down and freaking out, because being on medication for the 10 years, my anxiety escalated and I would have panic attacks to the point where everything would just kind of close in on me and I would make myself pass out. I would freak out that much.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was on benzodiazepines to try and stop that, and it was too much, and I just needed to get off. So I wanted to come off, and I said to him, could you please come back for the week? And I had been off the SSRIs for about a fortnight, so I kept spiraling up and down. I was like, fine, and then I'd be like super crying and anxious. And he said to me, I'm busy at work. You're busy with the kids. At the time, I was also full-time studying to be a naturopath. Yeah. So I don't know what I was thinking. And he said, you've got study, you've got kids. I'm not coming back. Just go back on the medication because it makes life easier for everybody. I just was like, this is bullshit. You're supposed to be my support person. Yeah. And I think then, because that was towards the end of my study, then I started really looking at why he wasn't coming back. Why, for me, I felt like as he was my husband, I wanted to do everything to make him happy. If he wanted to work, I wanted to be that person going, yes, do it. Do have these big dreams. Go forth and do these amazing businesses. He wanted to travel, so he used to do a lot of solo trips. He went around all Europe and Asia and America. He did these beautiful things, and I was like, you're working hard. Of course, go do it. Go have a holiday. You deserve it. And I wanted him to turn around, excuse me, and say the same to me. You're worth it. I want to come back and help you. And instead, 6 months later, he sent an email and said, sorry, I don't think we need to be married anymore. A week after that, oh, I've met someone else. A fortnight after that, it was, she's moved in. Yeah. And I remember sitting down with the kids and saying to them, look, this is what's happened. It's, you know, Dad and I still love you very much. We're going to try and co-parent. Nothing really changes for you because you're used to Mum always being at home and Dad being in a different country. So that was really great for the kids because I've not known anything else.
Mm.
And my daughter said to me, is he dating this woman? And I said, yes. And she said, I'm so sorry, Mum. We didn't know how to tell you. He's been having her to stay that whole time that we've been visiting.
Oh my god. They
had been that hit more than anything else. The fact that they had to carry that burden.
Yeah.
That they knew that this affair had been going on and he'd been doing that in front of the kids instead of I don't expect monogamy from everyone. I mean, people, we're humans, you get attracted to other people. I just expected the honesty.
Of course.
Yeah, and that's what hit me the most. And so
it was so huge. And
I know it was so big. Yeah.
I'm like, that is like, if you're out there listening and your mouth is dropped down to the ground, that's exactly how I was when I spoke to Janie. And if you see her, she's this beautiful, gorgeous, bubbly, amazing person internally. But obviously you had all of that that you were holding. And, you know, what do you feel like kept you going?
Well, I went through the phase of blaming him, hating him, then blaming her for being a homewrecker.
Mm-hmm.
And being very much like, oh my God, I'm such a good person. Why did this happen? I've done, you know, this, that, and the other. Poor me, poor me. I was stockpiling pills because I had planned.
Mm.
I just couldn't. There was so much pain. I didn't want to be here anymore. Yeah. And the thing that kept me going was it was spite. I was like, you're not going to be this person.
Awesome.
That is laid low by another human being. That's not the message you're going to show your children. And the other half of it was, you're not going to let this woman take your whole family. She's not getting your kids and your man.
Yes.
So it was those two things.
You're like, hell no.
Yeah. Those two stubborn bits.
Awesome. And then how long was it after that that you were kind of like, what made you go, all right, that's it. I need to do some shit for myself. I got to work on this. Because obviously you noticed, and we've talked about it before, that you were giving so much to him. Mm-hmm. And this is why I say, you guys, it's, you can't give to others. And that's why the fucking people on the airplane tell you, if the thing comes down, put the shit on your face first, the mask on your face, and you can breathe, and then you help everybody else, right? So obviously massive lessons Janie's had, and we've talked a lot about like how she wasn't putting herself first and just like sacrifice and martyrdom and all of this stuff. So where was it where you were like, that's it, I'm gonna, what was it? What was there a moment or something that made you go, I need to work and do some shit for me?
Yeah, I just started slowly. I was taking care of myself because I come off this medication. So I needed to look at, so I'm a naturopath, had to look at herbal support and, awesome. You know, different supplements to help lessen the side effects as I came off the medication, but then also to take over, to calm my nervous system and to really nourish myself. So I started doing that. Then I decided, because I'd put on a lot of weight from studying and just working with the kids, I didn't have time to look after myself. So once I'd graduated, I was like, right, you go into the gym, started losing weight. And I can't tell you how much going to the gym, you know, when people say, oh, if you're not feeling low, you know, feeling good, go to the gym and you'll get the endorphins. Mm-hmm. And I knew that. And I was like, what a load of bullshit. No one wants to go on the treadmill and sweat and you're going to feel good. But I did. I got on that treadmill and then started lifting weights. And it really did save me. Like, I would come out of there and feel so much better. And I had an amazing best friend who had also been through his own divorce. He didn't have children because he was in a gay, same-sex marriage. Yes. So they hadn't had children. But he got where I was coming from, and he was that person. He must have listened to me bitch and moan and cry and, you know, regurgitate those same stories over and over again.
Yeah.
And he really got me through it. And it was just through talking with him, and he's very into shamanism and metaphysical things. So I started, you know, looking more into that, because I've always really enjoyed the sort of witchy woo-woo side of things. So, and I started listening to different things, and yeah. And then I came across your work. I think it was, I had said to you before, I was following Dr. Danielle, and then I saw Angela Gallo come up on her feed. So I started following Angela, and then Angela mentioned you, and I found you, and I was like, wow, that, you know, your confidence really shines through. And I just wanted a small piece of that. And yeah. And your work, especially the homework that you've given me, it really made me stop thinking in that victim mode and being in the present, because it's true. The times that I felt so bad and so shitty and so just so low and not wanting to be here on this earth anymore was those times. It wasn't because I was in the future, you know, in the present looking at what I had. It was because I was too busy looking in the past, what's been left behind, or future casting, not about myself, but what was my husband and his girlfriend doing? What was this amazing, beautiful life? I don't know what their life's like. I have no idea. In my brain, they were having the best time ever, and they were like, ha ha ha. I've got everything and Jane's got nothing. So it was that realization that it was my mind, my whole mindset. I was making myself miserable, and there was no need for it.
Oh my goodness. And let me tell you guys, when we gave, even just with the Loving Bitch Lab, the homework that I gave you, she was like onto it that moment. Like, she messaged me back, got the book, I'm reading this. I'm like, so there is power in like when you're ready to make shit happen, when you are ready. And so many people, especially the people we love, that we want to like tell them about how great it is to work on yourself, how great it is to heal yourself, when they're not ready, you're just like, why aren't you listening? But when you're ready, nobody can stop you. And you were literally just, you were so amazing because you took the action, you made it happen. You saw that you needed to do more work. And not only that, but we've been working together one-on-one on Zoom calls from New Zealand and Australia and making this happen, you know, and we're now approaching towards the end of our coaching one-on-one, and the sisterhood had came out, the global program. And Jenny's like, I'm doing that. And so now you're a part of that. So tell us now, like, what are the things that you feel like maybe you've accomplished or you've seen now that has healed for you, or how are you now compared to then? Like, what does the now look like for you?
Well, the now involves a lot less crying. I still get emotional when I think about things because I have a I'm an emotional person. I strongly imprint on people. When you're my person, you're my person. So it doesn't matter who I'm talking about. If I feel strongly about them, I'm going to get all emotional and cry. But it's a lot less crying, and it's a lot more about taking up space and not shrinking. I feel like I shrank myself in order for others to shine brighter. It didn't matter whether I, you know, if it was my ex-husband or my friends or somebody I didn't even know, if I felt like you had more to offer, then I would give you the biggest space, and I would make myself small so that you could shine to your fullest. And I would stay quiet, not chime up. Now it's very much going into the room, and yeah, I might feel intimidated by somebody, but I just take a breath and, you know, see that I'm just as valid. Me being there, my point of view, my gifts, my offerings, they're just as valid as someone who might be uber successful or super model pretty or whatever. Yeah. Like, no more shrinking.
Yes. Yeah. And tell us about your business. How's that going? Because that was a big part of what we were doing as well.
So my business is very much a new baby business. I've always worked for other people, not for myself. So it's been a massive learning curve. So I have a naturopathy, herbal medicine, and postnatal doula business. And it's still very much up and down as I build my client base, but it's so much better now having done the work with you and continuing to do the work, because I'm not approaching it from a scared lack mentality. I get that there is so much, you know, I can take up as much space as everybody else, and we can all be in a room of 150 amazing naturopaths offering the same things, but we can all have viable businesses, because I'm not going to gel necessarily with the same customer base as those other naturopaths are.
There's no scarcity. And I think the biggest thing too, that I've seen you really like blossom, even when you shared that post on Facebook and Instagram, she shared a really massive, vulnerable post, and you got beautiful feedback, all the beautiful messages from people that were following you. And it's just like having the ability to know that you are worthy, and that you don't need anybody externally to prove that to you, that you were just your own enemy. You were just thinking less of yourself, and so you accepted less. And the minute that you... I remember when you were talking about what you wanted in your business, and she literally said what she wanted, went out there and manifested three clients in the first go.
Yeah.
And one paid client, the rest were just like trialing. And it was like, and now this, you just opening those gateways, those doors, really allowed these people to see you and find you, because now you're on, your light is on and people can see it. Your light was off, nobody can find you. So in the dark where we are hiding. So it's so amazing to watch you fully blossom and you just own your shit and be like, yep, this is me. And really, you know, who you've become, and the commitment that you have to the work is what I want to highlight, because it's so easy to say you want to change, but you are actually putting your freaking claws in the ground and showing the fuck up and making it happen for yourself. And yeah, it's hard. You know, she said it's not easy. You do your head in, but at least you kind of have the tools now to understand that you don't have to believe the bullshit thoughts, you know?
It really is true. It doesn't matter if it's emotional or physical or, you know, spiritual health, nothing will change unless you put that effort in and really go to work, because it's easy to take a pill and mask those symptoms.
Yeah.
But you're just pushing it down further, and it's going to make a bigger mess when it comes out eventually. So you might as well get that shovel out, start digging, crying and making a mess. And what you said in our last session really struck home to me. You said to me, my ex didn't leave me. I left myself a long time ago, and I never realized that I did that, but it was just little chunks at a time. I did.
Yeah.
So it's no wonder things turned out the way they did.
Yeah. And it's not like a blame. It's just like, shit, what are we allowing? You know, what are we allowing? And that's the part where you guys, it's not easy to take responsibility for your part. It's so much easier to blame people. And, you know, I talk about it all the time, that you are not your story. You can become the fucking author and change it and flip the script on yourself. and empower yourself with what happens. So you are such a perfect, we could talk for hours because you have so many amazing stories. If you were to just give one nugget of advice or your biggest like aha or takeaway for somebody out there possibly experiencing what you are experiencing, what would you love to tell them or let them know about?
Well, I think for the people that are depressed or anxious, because that is such a huge, that fucks with your head. Like literally you sit there thinking, I'm going crazy. Yeah. Nobody else understands me. You're not alone. All you have to do is reach out. We're taught, I think as Western women, we're taught to not vocalize what we're feeling and not to share our story, because maybe your mother-in-law or your parents or your husband or partner, they might think, oh, don't, you shouldn't have said that, or you know, don't make us look bad or whatever. Share your story, because nobody knows what you're going through if you keep it all inside. And the person, if you don't know, if you share your story, your next door neighbor, you could save their life, like literally just by letting them know they're not alone, you know. So if you're going through a rough patch, reach out to somebody. You're not alone. You do have that power to change it. And just, you just need to make that commitment to yourself that you're worth it, and you can put that hard work in, because you can turn anything around.
Yes. And the beauty of this, mothers out there, if you are a parent or adopted parent or, you know, step parent, or you have your own children, like Janie's going to be able to show, she's showing, she doesn't have to do anything. She is an example to her kids, her sons and daughters, as to what a woman that goes through a tough time can create for herself. And that's what we've talked about a lot as well, is the fact that the kids are watching, whether they're 4 or 14, right? They are watching, they're making things mean things. And the fact to see their mother go through what you went through and stand strong and cry and yet do the work and transform your life and now do your business, like, you guys, it's so powerful. If you've got kids out there, the best way to heal them and teach them is to do it for yourself. Like 1,000,000%.
I mean to that. Yeah. No.
I love you. I'm so honored that I got to speak to you about this and that everybody gets to hear your story. What are you looking forward to next for you? What's next for you?
What's next for me? I'm just looking forward to, I don't know, seeing what's out there. I don't know. This is the first time in my life where I've had the opportunity to see what Jane wants to do. And so I don't know if that's staying in New Zealand or moving overseas. Hey, I might come to Melbourne and hang out with you. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
I'm hiring you.
Yeah, so it's just, I'm excited to see what opens up, what adventures are out there. I mean, maybe I'll meet someone, maybe I won't, but either way, I'm going to take up my space and do what's best for me and show my kids, you know, exactly how you can stand in your own power. So they don't have to go through the same crap that I went through. They can make their own mistakes. They don't need to repeat mine.
Oh, I love that. I love you, girl. I will see you in the sisterhood, honey. And in our next sessions, because we still have a few to go. So thank you, Janie, for who you are. Thank you for sharing your story. You are amazing. Love you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Honey.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. I so appreciate your time, your ears, your support, your love, your questions. Please connect. You can head over to Instagram at The Queen of Confidence or Facebook at The Queen of Confidence and hit me up. Or if you're not on Facebook or Instagram, email me, y'all. My email is erica@thequeenofconfidence.com. I cannot wait to hear from you. I thank you. I love you. This podcast is for you. Go out there and be great, y'all.